Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, "What a time to be alive." And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week can make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. Hello.
Hi.
What's up? What's going on?
I feel
on?
Like, Patty, you rearranged it a little bit, but you did the whole intro with your hat very low on your eyes, like you didn't want us to recognize you.
Well, this is the Rob Lowe hat, right? The MLB general hat.
Yeah.
General baseball supporter.
I like to think of it as I'm stealing umpire valor. That's what I think of it as.
Yeah.
The coolest guys. It's a hat with just the MLB logo of a guy hitting a baseball. And
it's a black
nothing
hat.
Else. It's mm-hmm. black. Yep.
The coolest
just
guys
a fan
on the
of
field.
The concept.
Yep.
Catch me at the baseball game rooting for the umpires.
The famous
rooting for the
game.
Rules.
Yeah. The ones everybody loves and who definitely aren't one of the only jobs that could be replaced by robots at be improved somewhat.
And in some facets will be starting, I think, next season. So,
oh, yeah.
Really?
It's yeah. Very soon, if not already, yeah.
Well, there's...
They got a strike.
I mean, they have the robo-umps in the minors for balls and strikes. I think it's coming.
I think it's... I mean, it's going to be annoying in the first place to have, like, your job be like, call ball or strike, and then immediately, like, seconds after you do it, on everybody's phone, it's like, wrong!
Right.
Like, points it out. They're like, God.
That is, like, man, I would be, like, a techno... Like, I'd be a Luddite. I'd be, like... sabotaging transformers and stuff if I were an umpire, just like taking it out against all robotics, just like absolutely not,
just doing this. Doing like Terminator 2 destroying Skynet, but for whatever the robot umpire
exactly.
technology is.
No, I meant like blowing up transformers at a power plant, not like the Michael Bay ones. Just like committing acts of terrorism.
Yeah, I was narrowing it because I imagine most umpires probably appreciate electricity as a they probably need it in their day to day. But
I don't know.
Fair. Let's get the FBI listening to our podcast right from the jump. Right away, we got the NSA in.
Hello.
Here.
Look, none of us are umpires, so I have no problem with it. I'm just saying, if that were my job, I'd be pretty frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in certain things, there's like a certain amount of charm to it. But at this, like every pitch would be like, no, I mean, it's like, you know, the same thing. It's like football. They're like, we got to hold on. We have to take out this chain. We have to lay a chain down and measure it up.
Right. Well, that's ridiculous. In the NFL, that is in particular ridiculous because the spotting of the ball is completely not based on anything. So the chain, like
is the chain
to
so
see?
They have, yeah. They have, if you ever see on the sideline, those big orange markers, there's two big posts with 10 yards of chain in between them. And
like
then,
chain link?
Like literal metal chain.
Okay.
And so when they're like, and like Patty's saying, the thing is that like, at the end of the play, they're like, the ball is here. They just put it down.
Right. It's about there. And then they use this quote unquote exact method to find out whether there was a first down or not. And it's like, but like the ball's just where you eyeballed
where
it
you
and said it was there. So what is the difference?
Where does the chain come in?
Because the chain is one of the things that's basically like a coach.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
It's one of the things where
that's
it's
what
like,
that's a song is about.
It's their way to be like, look, man, one of the coaches won't stop yelling at me. We got to do something. So then they go, okay, we'll get the chain. All right. You're right. We'll get the chain. And then they bring out the chain. They go, oh, it turns out it was what we thought it was. And then
what do they
the
do with
away.
The chain?
They lay
so
it,
confused.
They stretch it to 10 yards.
Yeah.
Okay.
From the point they
and
started.
And they see if the
where
ball
the,
is
where
there.
The ball is. Okay, okay, okay.
So
and it's like, sorry, you're an inch short. It's like, oh, is it possible that you're eyeballing it from 15 feet away was an inch wrong? Is that possible?
Oh, your placement from where you mentally put the ball that was behind 12 of the largest men in existence, like that you x-ray vision through them?
Yeah.
It's right here? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's a fun suspense.
Okay, enough music.
You don't love me now. Yeah, so I just want to listen to the song now. You got to turn it off.
The umpires, you know, hey, what was that? Was that me? Yep, making drops of my own voice. Am I dead? I'm doing the Luke bonus. Yep, did I die?
Oh no, what is happening?
Yep.
What in the fucking world is going on? I can't tell if
Shelby is... Yeah. Shelby's trying to make us all think we're having a stroke.
He has a drop. He has a drop of my voice. Which we, yeah, there's been many hours of it, so it's not hard to imagine. I don't know why. I don't remember saying that. Like, I don't remember being in an episode of Storage Wars. But
yeah, I think the fact that it's just a normal interstitial phrase at a completely normal volume and timbre is really, really throwing my brain for a loop. Yeah.
Anyway, umpires.
Yeah, I'm reset.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for all you do.
There's something
fun
about
explaining the chain to me.
Because you're not going to hate the robot the same way that you hate like the umpires that everyone hates.
You can't boo the robot.
It's not going to be the same. Out of it. I mean, you can.
But you're not going to make it feel bad. It's not going to like go home at the end of the day and right. not be able to sleep.
They got to program the robot to do like an annoying little dance or you know what I mean, or be like frustratingly inconsistent.
They need to program the robot to feel so that we can hurt its feelings.
Right. Mm-hmm. They need the robot. Need the robot needs to do the stuff from The Naked Gun when he's strike two dancing around doing splits and stuff. Like that's what we need, I think.
Yeah, just get a face I'd on like it. That. Make a sad face. I mean, we're gonna find out because they're gonna put that Eric Adams is putting the robot in Times Square subway, and people are gonna beat the shit out of that robot.
Please.
So.
The Dalek, the NYPD Dalek.
I'm here to help.
Eric, that picture
not
of Eric
the
Adams
tracks
making
again.
That picture of Eric Adams making a hand heart on it is like one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
where he's like he's trying to like be its bestie, but it's a Dalek. It doesn't have arms. It's just it's a dot. It's like that candy dots.
Yeah.
It's just one of those.
Eric Adams, who just, according to some thing, just joined the Freemasons, in case you had any thought that the Freemasons sure. were still cool. Just join the Freemasons. As of right now.
That's where you dine at the table of success, is in the Freemason, in the mm-hmm. Masonic Lodge.
I mean, your haters are definitely becoming your waiters in that.
Yeah. Your haters are becoming your waiters there because they're your slaves in the afterlife or whatever people think the Masons are doing.
The Masonic Lodge exclusively employs haters as waiters.
Yeah, it's true. If you're poorly behaved enough in a restaurant, your haters will always be your waiter. You know, your waiters
true.
Will be your haters. It's kind of like yeah. a... Square is a rectangle is a square type thing.
Right. You know? You can convert your waiters to haters if you yeah. behave badly enough. And then it becomes the table of success because they do have to still be your waiters.
It's a great bit of transformation. It was, you know, you go there. But yeah, that gives you a timestamp for this. We're recording this earlier than we usually do, early on in the week, in case, you know, there's some sort of great war in the next 4 or 5 days.
Don't
it seems
jinx
like we're
it.
Ignoring
sorry guys the great war broke out. Oh man, how embarrassing. How embarrassing for you guys. You guys didn't cover the great war on the show.
What number would that be?
Yeah,
a number on a, one this week. The great
the
war
the great war has begun.
On a bombed out dry empty earth with no life remaining, one RSS feed hums to life and puts up an episode.
You guys heard about this great war? This great comes to war. Us from Ugh. Hamburger Hinder, who submitted the great war.
We heard about this from a lot of people. The great war has begun.
I sent this to the chat. The great war has begun, as you all know. So we're there.
Probably heard about this.
They're sending all the Times Square robot has been drafted into the Great War, is going over there.
Yeah, we're recording this from our safe location in the Freemason headquarters, and we will be unaffected by the Great War.
We're all members. That's why
the podcast will continue.
Yeah, that's why we don't always release video. We're all wearing our Freemason rings. We give it away. We're all wearing our huge Freemason signet rings.
Yeah, and we always have both of our hands in frame at all times. That's uh-huh. part of the. So that's
I do.
That we have.
Doing this.
Just doing it just like
jingling
this.
Jingling them around. Yeah. Just yeah.
Showing everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's all I invest all my money in Super Bowl rings from Pawn Stars. So I'm walking around with my 401k on my fingies. Just a variety of decades worth of Super Bowl rings.
Oh man, they had to cut this guy's finger off. His arthritis was so bad after he was dead.
Yeah. There's definitely a couple
guys,
fingers that are tough to get on there.
When you were in high school, did they like they like really pushed us on class rings when I was in high school, And even at the time, I was like, this is like predatory to make high schoolers think that they should spend money on
what's
this.
What's the company? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Justin.
I can't remember.
Justin's, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Justin's really wants you to...
Go Justin's. Yeah. I'm going to be really embarrassed when we stop recording or right after the episode goes out, we notice we have an email in our inbox, a pitch from Justin's.
Yeah.
That's plug the peril it. Of recording a week in advance, you know?
Our new
sponsor. Get your Great War commemorative ring.
I'd buy that. It's such an insane item in retrospect that they like
a
that's
high school
such a hard
class
pick.
Ring.
Yeah.
Insane.
Like maybe if you're just like some colossal like Harvard asshole, yeah, maybe you want like a Harvard graduation ring. If you're like, what message could you possibly need to send out that is conveyed by a high school graduation ring?
Not gonna like, comment insane. On this.
Yeah. Not going to comment
you have
on
one?
This?
Huh? What's that?
Patty has one.
Patty's got one.
I actually
Patty
feel like this
collect.
Is...
Yep.
That is such a deeply
like
confusing
this has come up on. This has come up on the podcast before, I think. And I feel like you've roasted Patty for having a class.
I have, yeah, I have one from each, I think. Or I definitely do. What am I saying?
One from each year.
One from each year. I don't know. It's like a... Yeah, I thought about things differently when I was 18
you
than
got
I do
scammed.
Now.
I
don't think I got scammed. It's not like, oh, man, I really could use that money right now. I wouldn't be, you know. Like, you
I
know.
Just feel like they were more expensive. They were like a little bit too expensive.
Oh, I bought that instead of a share of Apple stock. Oh, what an idiot.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
I just felt like directly marketing to high schoolers with the price of those things was like kind of shady.
Directly marketing anything to high schoolers is... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for example, the army. That's a big one. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah. They, I mean, yeah. I mean, I think they just like, I feel like they just made it seem like more people were going to be wearing them later.
That it was a normal, well, I feel like that's the whole fiction of their,
yeah
it's the whole fiction situation. Of their company that people have class rings and wear them.
And that's a lie. For a long time, like men wearing jewelry in general was like out of vogue. It was like not, you know what I mean? You know, like it was obviously much more popular. You know, to have class rings in like the 50s and stuff, and you'd give it to your girlfriend at the sock hop and she'd wear it around her neck or, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But like,
she had the skinniest neck.
Yeah.
She wore it as a necklace.
She had a green ribbon that it was tied on with.
You get your
and she never took
ring.
It off.
Yeah. You get your class ring and a house for $500 and mm-hmm. move in.
Right. And you got to go to college for free because you read to the end of the newspaper and there was a coupon in it.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, people complain too much now.
You got it. You'd finish college, you'd send a letter to the, you know, whatever job you wanted and say, "Hey, I would
like
a
head of whatever company you want to work at." I say, "I like it. You're in for 40 years."
Mr. Bill Gates, I have just graduated with honors from high school.
Yeah, you want to get entertainment? You mail some jokes to Milton Berle and then you end up creating 10 sitcoms over the next
You're living in the Chelsea Hotel and they spot you somehow. Yeah. And pull you right into the world of entertainment. And then you do 5 minutes on a late night show and they give you 4 sitcoms. And then that's how you do it. That's how you still do it. So everybody gets it.
And it starts with a class ring. That's mm-hmm. the point we're making.
That's the,
which
that's
is
the
why
main
you should
thing
all
you
get one.
You have to do is you have to send a photo of the class ring in the letter as well. Mm-hmm.
To make sure that's how they know you graduated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going in to shake hands at the job interview and your interviewer notices a conspicuous lack of a class ring on your hand. I don't know if I like this guy.
Now, I will say, so my relationship with the idea of like high school, you know, attire, you know, like stuff that, you know, is very different than it was when I was graduating from there. Right. Like that's something that maybe you consider later, you know, but nobody's going to buy one later either. So they know they have to hook you then because nobody's going to like get
that's
it
what
later.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they
I feel
they
like
get
someone
you when you're
needs
at
to the- be real with these kids about the fact that no one has these. You don't need it.
But the type of ring that I do think is cool is, well, I did the podcast Murder Brian's Guys. We talked about bowling guys a few weeks ago.
Hell yeah. Oh,
and yeah. If you bowl a 300, you can get a ring. But
that's a cool ring.
But you have to like verify like with your like official score and your like registered thing. You can't just like buy one. You know what I mean? Like, like to order one. It's like a whole – yeah. So that's –
you
that's,
should – yeah, this, that's the cool. stone – the stone in one of those, if you go into any bowling alley, there should be like a thing, like a light – that you can put the stone of your 300 ring and then it like pops up like, you know, like stats and like a 3D, right? It verifies.
Yeah, like a little hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's, really that good. Said, there are quite a few on eBay. So if anybody wants to steal some Bold of 300 Valor, I guess they can.
Bowling Valor. Yeah.
Acquire.
I mean, I guess you could also just get it and it says, I rolled 300.
Oh, this is funny. 300 ring, when you search 300 ring, you get a bunch of, obviously, people that bowled 300s. You also get some really dumb looking, like, you put a Spartan's helmet over your finger.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That was what I was going to say. My ring that I got to commemorate me seeing the movie 300.
All right. Yeah. Now that's cool. So I'm going to get one of those, actually.
Oh, this is...
I've never seen that movie still. Heard it's great.
Hey, it looks cool. You know, it's, you know, that's what, you know, it looks like the comic, that's for sure.
You can watch it and fast forward, and then it's just regular speed, and it's about 35 minutes long. Whole movie's in slow-mo. Pretty cool.
I watched it so many times.
It is a Zack Snyder.
It was like the big... I remember, like, in my high school, that was like, if the football team was, like, going on an away game, they would put 300 on the bus.
That makes sense.
That's like, I think most of who watches that movie and when is like a sports team going to an away game.
We're just like this. We're like killing a wolf.
Exactly.
Get that killer instinct up.
Yeah. I'm kicking a big guy into a hole. That's my job on the sports team.
Yep, that's exactly right.
This is our Battle of Thermopylae. We're going out there to face.
We're
a
all
going to
die. By the way, they didn't win. Like,
yeah, plenty of that.
And it's, also, yeah, it prepares you to lose with heart. That's what that movie is about.
They need to make a movie about the Sacred Band of Thebes, dude. Have you heard of those guys? They rock. I don't think so. They're 300 warriors that were all gay, and they made a special platoon of them because they were like, if you're all in love with each other, you're never going to let any of you die. Like, that was like their whole thing. It's like, you're going to fight harder because you're fighting with your boyfriend the whole time. Weirdly, yeah, that one not picked up by the manosphere. Strangely, nobody's ever talking about the fierce warrior mindset.
Well, it's not like literally that. It was more like filial love, you know, like it was like, you know, like not like, you know,
it was just
like,
the boys.
Yeah,
they were the boys. Yeah,
they're not like dating each other or what. You know, that's not what it's like. I thought you were going to say, you know, what they need to make a movie about is the 1960s.
Enough. Two great options.
Not enough stuff.
The Sacred Bands of Thieves movie would be pretty sweet. I feel like there is probably some wing of the manosphere that is like the sacred warrior mindset of protecting your boyfriend, but
yeah,
I feel like they're probably a pretty fringe.
I mean, if you let the hatred of women bubble up enough, you know, it drives you there, I guess, in theory, you know, it could at least.
Eventually, like, following it to its logical conclusion, eventually it is less gay to fuck a man than to fuck a woman if you're like in that part of the
that's the classic, you know, is dessert gay sort of debate. Sure. Twitter debate. Yeah. That has been circled. But yeah, hey, Sacred Band of Thebes, check them out.
check
that historical band of
Wikipedia
warriors out.
Check it out.
Yeah,
should we do number 5?
Let's do it.
Number 5.
Shelby is so happy that sound effect is back from when we did that show with the gutter like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's like, finally.
That is a very punchy strike sound, by the way. That really got
the strike of someone who's getting that ring. Yeah. That's what it sounds like. Direct hit.
At least one of those pins is broken.
Yeah, there may have been enough of them that this does count as a 300 listening to this. Is it 10 frames worth? Yeah,
that was who do you think you are? I am. That was that guy. okay, so number 5 comes to us from Pappy Land in the Discord, and this is a story about an airline customer service dispute. This is a couple on a 13-hour flight from Paris to Singapore. They were in premium class, I guess, or premium economy, but on a 13-hour flight, any kind of upgrade is obviously going to be worth a lot of money. They got a refund of $1,400, the difference because they had to move to economy from premium economy. And the reason they were is because they were sitting next to what they describe as a farting, snorting, and drooling dog. That's who was next to them. And that was a little guy who is I'll drop
What kind of little guy are we talking about here?
I don't know
what
the breed is.
I'm going to assume it's a French bulldog.
Bulldog adjacent for sure.
This is absolutely what I was envisioning.
This is a little farting, snorting, drooling, snoring guy for sure.
Yeah,
that's what you're. Yeah,
just a little tube of scent and air puffing just out.
Like, yeah. You know the dog is going to be like in the ballpark of like a. Yeah, it's going to be like a Danny DeVito of dogs type, you know, a little kind of stout little guy. Yeah. Although I've seen a Great Dane on a plane before, so I don't know. That was in the real.
Did he get his own seat? I feel like it would be like Scooby-Doo. Have you seen that meme where it's like, it's the lady yelling, that motherfucker right there is not real, and then it cuts to a scene from the Scooby-Doo movie where Scooby-Doo is sitting in an airplane seat?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
it really makes me laugh. That was in the Wild West when like before they cracked back down. But I think
was he in a cage? Was he
no?
On a
he
seat?
Was he was. I walked by. You know, it was on the way on the plane. They were in the front and they were in like the first row with like the little space in front of them. And I guess the dog was just like laying down at their feet, kind of thing. But it was like that is fully a Great Dane. Okay, sure.
I grew up. My across the street neighbors had a Great Dane. They're like pretty because I think their body just like hurts all the time, so they're not very like. Energetic. They're like, I could imagine them just kind of laying down for a whole plane flight.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I can back that up. What is my human Great Dane? My knees hurt all the time. So there yeah. you go. I get it. There.
Their knees and hips are.
Their stomach
problems,
can flip inside out.
That's true. That happened to poodles too. Happened to a lot of dogs.
Yeah, dogs are really good at knotting up stuff. They're really good at messing stuff up inside yeah. them.
It's true. You know? Yeah, spending a lot of time worrying about obstructions. That's the from stuff yeah. on the street. That's
thankfully,
very fun.
Thankfully, their stomach that is super easy to obstruct is combined with an appetite that eats things specifically designed to get stuck inside them.
Yeah,
that's good.
Based on how they act,
evolutionary strength.
Yeah, based on how dogs act, you'd think that they taste with their stomach. They'd be like, "Can you not? How is this already all the way inside you? What are you like? Just like
eat it all, like God sorted out. Mm-hmm. They're just going for it."
And they're like, tinfoil, tasting attempt number 435. Get it in there. Yeah. Well, you know, we live in a very clean city with it doesn't have chicken bones everywhere. So it all works out. It's all easy peasy. No problem.
So this dog was on the plane and, you know, presumably a service dog or with permission, obviously not smuggled on, challenging.
It's my emotional support dog. I'm not comfortable unless there's a cloud of fart smell around me at all times.
That's right. So, you know, I guess, they got an initial kind of apology voucher situation and then they like pushed it and got the difference in their tickets, I guess. And
I like how this is being reported like the dog was by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This dog was taking a flight. He had some business
it was the pilot.
And it's like, yeah, I don't know. This is just a strange story because it's just like, it's very like, you know, and they did it and they stuck up for themselves. And it's like, I guess, I don't know, man. You know, how bad could this have been? I mean, I guess it could have been bad.
I mean,
I don't know.
Dog farts are pretty bad.
That's true.
I kind of get where they're coming from, but I also, like, can you imagine? So, like, one time I was in, this was the last time I ever used Airbnb. I was staying in a room in someone's house for, like, an Airbnb, and their whole house smelled like fucking cat piss. And I was just like, I can't stay here. Like,
yeah.
I absolutely cannot. And I had to, like, cancel it and message the guy and be like, I'm so sorry. Your house smells like cat piss. Like, I got refunded by Airbnb and I felt bad because it's like, that guy probably needs Airbnb to like make his rent or whatever. But it's like, I can't stay in your house if it smells like cat piss. I just can't.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I guess like this isn't a zero sum game. Like the owner of the farting dog does not lose anything here, but I still feel like I would probably suffer in silence if I were these people just because. Oh no!
I don't care for that.
No more of that. Please
that,
no.
That was not what that was. That would be a little bit more deserving of a refund, I think. So, I mean, it is one of those things where it's like, well, let's see if we can soak the airline. Screw them. You know what I mean? Right. That's fair.
Right.
They're not going to charge the person with the dog. You know. I mean, I don't want the person with the dog to be like dinged. Because their dog happens to be a little stinky, like if they get like flagged for like future flights or something.
Stinky charge. Put you in the stinky seats.
Stinky surcharge. Yeah. Would you like to be in the stinky or non-stinky
seat? Yeah. You get put on the stinky seat. It's on the outside of the plane. You're going to hang out there.
But they are.
I mean, I feel like I've been on planes with people that smell pretty bad. I don't think you could get a refund for that, probably. I don't know.
I don't know. It's definitely, I feel like there's something there. I'm wondering, I feel like somebody's been kicked off a plane for being just like.
For being too stinky?
Horrible. Yeah.
I mean, there's probably, kicked out midair. They just opened the exit door.
Eject.
And sucked them out.
There was,
There's also like, what do you do if, because there's like a couple, like disorders you can have that just make you smell really bad. And like, there's nothing you can do about it, which, what a nightmare. Like,
man, maybe
would not
dog,
wish on anyone.
Maybe the
but
dog.
But it's like, what do you do if you gotta fly? You know?
Yeah.
I guess this dog has one of those medical disorders. You're right.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's definitely some, I mean, there's been like, I think like fighting game tournaments and definitely some magic tournaments at one point where like, you have to shower here. We will. I went at that metal show I went to, they did, I mean, it was like, I think half joking, but Death Clock did like a animation and put it up on the big screen that was like hygiene tips for metalheads. And I was like, this is kind of necessary. You see? Yeah. No.
There's every time I've been to WrestleMania weekend, there's usually a blanket sort of advisory that goes out.
I think there's a
people
big
go to
overlap.
Like a ton of shows in a row, and it's like you need to take care of some business here. You need to keep this in check.
Yeah, get some aluminum in there. Get the good stuff.
Stripe
it up.
Sorry, you must risk cancer. It's too important to the people around you.
Yeah.
So this. You know, like they initially were going to stay in the seats because of the snorting and drooling, you know, like that was not bad enough to switch seats, I guess, because the only open seats were in the back of economy. So they initially decided to stay. And then after dinner service, as they tried to fall asleep, that's when apparently the farting started. then the flight attendant gave them economy seats. They could fill out an incident report, blah, blah, blah. You know, and then they negotiated their way up
incident
to getting
report.
The money back. Yeah. And again,
they took
like
down
I said,
the dog's badge number. Like, who are you?
The dog issued one demerit.
Based on the context clues here, I feel like it's possible that this was just, the dog might be a scapegoat here. Oh, after dinner, when people are falling asleep, that's when the fart started?
It's the dog. It's the dog. It's the dog.
The genius move would be if it was them the whole time, and they were like, we need to move because of that dog.
You believe this?
Tactical. Very very good deployment of
I'm so sure about that. We need an incident report. Let's get this on paper. The dog did this. Please mark this down. Put it in the database. Yeah.
It needs to go in the database.
Order this in the database. Take it out. Yeah. Yeah, I mean I will say it's like one thing where it's like this, like we said before, this dog, the seeing the picture of this dog is just like I can smell it. Like I'm like,
story.
Oh, yeah, this dog is going nuts. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't doubt it. And you know, I don't think you necessarily have to endure that. You know, and if you can get the airline to pay you, then whatever, right? But I mean,
then God bless.
Yeah. And they apparently are donating the money to an organization that provides guide dogs to people with blindness or low vision. So that's you know,
good.
Yeah. So it's hard to really get too, you know.
I wouldn't even be mad if they kept the money.
No, I mean, because it's not, you're not hurting anybody, right? But you kind of have to, if you're going to agree to do a story on whatever the site is, you know, you probably should be like, yeah, and we're not even keeping the money.
Right.
You know.
yeah. Totally.
Because the image of like, you know, well, we can't give up our premium seats. You picture like a guy in a tuxedo and like an old dowager type, you know what I mean? And like, woo, no, you know, not super sympathetic.
That's the first thing to happen when the dog started farting was his monocle fell into his soup. He ruined it.
The dog's monocle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never flown anything but basically the worst one that you can fly.
Worst class.
Economy minus. Yeah. You got any economy minus seats back
I'm
there?
I'm in worst class every time I fly. So I feel like if I had premium seats, it would be a big deal for me to give them up too, because it's literally an experience I've never had.
And like,
it seems better based on what I see walking to the very back of the plane every time I travel anywhere. It seems good up there.
Yeah.
So
I only
kind of get where they're coming from.
They put my family in first class once because we helped some some kid was flying by themselves. And I guess the kid sort of like trauma bonded to us. They were like, you can all sit in first class. Just truly like a lost duckling was just like, my mommy's in the airport. You're my mom.
I did that a lot.
Yeah, trauma bonded.
Flew alone or took children under your wing?
Both.
Flew alone.
It'd be fun if they flew alone. Did you get to go in first class when you flew alone? Is that a thing they do for little kids flying by themselves? I feel like I've definitely been on a plane. I've been on a plane next to a kid flying by themselves, and they had like, they basically had like a big laminate necklace with like all of their information on it. Like a big packet of like, here, this is who I am. This is where I'm going. Yep.
They have a
Shelby
life
knows
jacket
about
on.
The packet.
Yep. You get put next to a kid flying alone. They have a life jacket and a gun. Defend yourself as much as possible. I don't know. I just remember they gave us ice cream. That was the big thing for me. I was
Ooh, nice.
Baby. Little. And they trust you with real silverware and stuff up there. At least they used to, you know? It was like a glass.
Love
bowl.
To be ushered into a small room beneath the airport.
Well, congrats to these people. I'm happy.
Yeah, and we didn't get the dog's name. We got no information about the dog. We got a picture, I guess, that they maybe they posted or something, or they provided to the reporter.
Dog who looks overjoyed to just
he's having a great time.
This.
He's loving it. He's just, you know,
ripping it up.
He's just like, hey, this is great. I'm just happy to be here, you know?
He does look thrilled to be here. Okay, let's do number four.
Number four, this story comes to us from Absolute Anarchate in the Discord. This is a story of so you guys ever been to a La Quinta Inn? Or any of the many hotels that are basically a La Quinta Inn.
La Quinta.
I think so. Every time I hear La Quinta, I think of the Mike Birbiglia sleepwalking.
Walking through the window. Yeah.
Oh, is that where
he walks through a window at a La Quinta? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a nice one in Indio or Palm Springs. I don't know which one, but it's like not. I don't think it's like if it is the same chain. But I've never stayed in an actual like you know like. But I've stayed in similar hotels to a La Quinta.
The
probably have
echelon.
Yeah, I don't know. Sure.
Well, let me ask you this: when you go into a hotel, even if it's you know maybe not a 5-star sort of thing,
sure.
Are there people working there usually?
generally speaking, yes.
Well, not for these.
There's
folks.
Some like very tired teenager who's there.
Yeah. Well, not even that. These people. So there's a group of friends going to Nashville. They arrived at this La Quinta Inn. Walked in and there was no one in the hotel working. They said that the phones were just like ringing constantly at the desk. No one is there.
Hell yeah. Someone just like walked off their shift, right? I guess had enough.
Yeah.
Someone was just like, I'm out.
That is what it turned out to be.
Not my problem.
Your classic disgruntled employee, which is a nice way to say someone hit their mental edge. Someone broke. You got here, someone mentally broke and now there's no one there. It's an overnight shift. This is like the graveyard shift. So, you know, it's like already skeleton crew. So this group of friends just started basically taking it, like running the hotel as best as they could. It doesn't say if they were like, they got their midnight shift. I don't know if they're maybe having a couple of drinks of their own on the plane or whatever. This seems like a 3-drink sort of plan where it's like, wouldn't it be funny? We ran this, but
yeah. We're like, you still have the coherence to actually follow through, but especially imagining like it's the beginning of their trip, like they're probably really amped.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like these people. I like this energy. Managing a hotel because it's a funny bit is pretty incredible. I'm really proud of these people.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you're like answering the phone, dealing with complaints. It's like, why are we? Yeah. Hang on. Why is that? Why are we doing this?
And they were.
That's like they were doing, right?
Yeah, they fully. This isn't like, oh, you know, we neatened
sat
up
behind the desk. Yeah,
like they got there. So probably they're coming in late after a concert. There's no one there. They went in. They were stocking buffets. Other people had problems, which they did their best to fix. So they're answering the phones. This is the one thing where I'm like, that might come back to haunt you. They were fixing people's room bills, which I'm like, okay, that's not
so making
fixing,
them free.
Huh?
Yeah. It's funny too. They said, yeah, so they had the spokesperson of the hotel says that their owner, overnight shift employee left early without telling anyone. And then they say they've been fired. And it was like, oh, yeah, well, I don't think they were coming back. I don't think they were showing up the next day. But yeah, you fired them. So they're just trying to do all this stuff. They keep the buffet stocked. I think they did say something about they gave somebody a free room, but can't find it now. And they did it for a while. They even says they serve breakfast. Yeah, they serve breakfast to some people in the morning. And then finally, a manager, I guess La Quinta figured out that there was an unmanned La Quinta going around and sent.
Yeah, they have a big map, like in action movies where they have a map of all the nukes, you know, and one of them was flashing
red. It's like
the
situation room. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the war room for La Quinta. And there's a blinking red light at that Nashville location.
They didn't turn both keys at the same time when they changed the room bills. So they were like, we've been compromised. They just sent a manager from another La Quinta over, that's a fun call too. I mean, like, hey, one of our hotels is kind of undergoing a peaceful mutiny, has been reclaimed.
It is sort of like a pirate situation. Like it is like they've been boarded, you know, that's pretty amazing. I wish they would have like defended the La Quinta from management, but like, this is ours now.
And it's also
we've been running it successfully for 12 hours, so now it's eminent domain. It's ours now.
They're doing 300. They're doing 300.
Yeah, they're doing 300.
Yeah, they're doing
them
300.
And the boys doing 300 with the boys. And it was an airport La Quinta too, where it's like airport hotels are like a sovereign nation. Like you know what I mean? Like when you're like,
there's that like sort of liminal like gray zone between the being in the airport and being in the place where the airport is located, and in between those is like everyone is operating on different time zones because of all the travel. Like it is this weird man's land.
Like if you check into like a Red Roof Inn that's like at the airport or whatever, and they're like, "Welcome to Atlanta," you're like, "This isn't Atlanta. This is airport. This is
airport. This is airport. Yeah.
This is airport city. Like,
welcome to airport.
Yeah. Welcome to airport.
Yeah. No matter where the Red Roof Inn is, if it is proximal to an airport, that is its culture.
Yeah.
It is not a regional.
They have their own imports and exports. They have to import food and pay for it with headphones from the Best Buy vending machine or whatever their currency, whatever the natural resources of an airport, which are Beats headphones and swatches, I think, and cologne.
Yeah. $17 turkey sandwiches.
Yeah, that's all
and,
they have.
And pashminas for some reason, if you're in a nice airport.
You need a gift, you know? Very, very important. If you need to, if you forgot to get someone a gift.
Toblerone. That's the most valuable item in the airport economy.
Toblerone would be such a good currency, though, if you had to do it, because it's like those old, you know, it breaks into little pieces. You give them a whole Toblerone. You can knock off. It's basically, it has its own cents, has its own pennies.
And then it's like great. Really annoying when you have to get change and they give you a bunch of the little ones instead of one all connected.
Uh-huh. No, they will.
It's a pain in the ass.
If Toblerone was currency, they'd have like a little hot plate so you could melt them back together. You like rub them on it. Re-engage, you know, do that. Yeah. So they go in there. I haven't seen all of it, but if you want to watch videos of it, they did post TikToks of them running the hotel.
You're running a La Quinta Inn.
I saw a TikTok a while ago of
opening a hotel that I don't
to manage a La Quinta that I'm not employed by. Mm-hmm. I saw a TikTok the other day it was probably fake, but it did make me laugh, where it was like some people like kind of on a road trip in like a budget hotel. And they were like, we got the front desk guy drunk, and it pans down and it's a dude in like a hotel uniform, just like face down on the ground. They're like, hey man, wake up. You're at work.
Yeah. I almost believe it. I don't know.
It's probably possible. It's one of those things where like if someone told me I would believe it, but because it's a TikTok, I'm like, that can't be true.
Yeah.
But I was hoping. It's certainly plausible.
I was hoping you'd be like, I saw a TikTok that it's probably fake. But anyways, it was Bigfoot. So he's around. Saw that.
Be aware.
Yeah. No. It's, you know.
Gen Z has discovered Harry and the Hendersons. Like, if Bigfoot isn't real, how come he stayed with that family? And
explain this.
Yeah. I don't know. And then, yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like it's an easy enough thing. And like, you don't even have to do too much because it's like, I feel like even if the person at the desk of La Quinta, you had a problem and they were like, I can't fix that. You'd be like, well, that's my fault for staying here. I don't.
Yeah, man.
That's on me for choosing your establishment.
Yeah,
so.
If an airport hotel told me they were out of sheets, I wouldn't even really think it was that weird. I'd be like, okay, well, just sleep in straight mattress, like, I guess.
One of these people who did this must have worked in some service industry that uses the same, like, point of sale system or something. You know what I mean? I feel like once, if you know that, like, if you know Aloha or whatever they're using, then, like, you can run the hotel, you know?
Yeah.
After you, like, figure out what to do when you swipe someone's card, you're good to go. At least for a couple hours.
You just need an iPad and one of those little things that plugs into the headphone jack.
A little square.
Yeah. That I will admit, even as I consider myself like a pretty tech-savvy person, the credit card swiper that plugs into the headphone jack, I'm still like, how does that? That's for music. How does this do credit cards? That's where my knowledge ends. I'm like, what the fuck? Mm. But yeah, so hey, if you were at the La Quinta Inn on this night, you may have been staying in a ghost hotel without knowing it. So
contact an attorney. I could have been killed.
I mean, you'd maybe have a case, right? You probably have a case.
Just the like something goes wrong with the iPad behind the counter and all the lights are flashing on and off and the blinds are going up and down. It's like, no.
I accidentally hit the button that releases the gas.
Everyone's getting doused in egg beaters.
I just have this image of them hitting a button and every door in the La Quinta like swinging open like it's a jail, like it's a prison break. All the guests stepping out into the hallway and suddenly starting a riot. You know?
Yeah, having
barricading the hallway with like a shitty like polyester office chair that's in their room.
Yeah. You walk out into the hallway and fucking Killer Croc is there. Like, oh no. Killer Croc staying at the La Quinta? Uh-oh.
There is a there's a version of this story that's not as funny. It's like, well, they had access to all the rooms, and right. They used it to be fun. I'm like, okay, good. Well, that's good.
They didn't swing all the doors open.
They didn't.
Like
they didn't use it to harm anyone or steal anyone's stuff. Or so,
folks, terrible news. The Hat Man has gotten access to all of the rooms.
The Hat Man has been working the graveyard shift at the La Quinta. We are so sorry.
I can't believe they hired the Hat Man.
He's used to staying up all night, so
it's his natural habitat.
His resume is on a piece of paper printed in it's a shape of a hat. I don't know how they even how they even do it.
References none. Yeah. or like old, you know, like references and
references
just like
are like
world leaders.
Yeah. Like, under skills, it's like remembers the names of the forgotten gods.
Yeah. Well.
And stand-up comedy.
And improv.
Stage combat. He can do stage combat. Folks, if you're enjoying this episode, you may also enjoy our bonus episode this week up on our Patreon at patreon.com/whatatimepod. Every week we record a bonus episode where we do some cool extra stuff. Like this week, we answered some more mailbag questions from our listeners, including which movies and TV we think are underrated and underwatched. So get some good recs from us.
We also did a what would you do in this situation about some alien stuff.
And hear about my devastating social misstep on the Amtrak, which has left my social credit reeling, irreparable. Check it out.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Let's do lesson number three. Number three comes to us from Seahorses Like Michael Clayton. I don't understand that, but we did talk about seahorses recently, so maybe it's something about that.
Seems like it could be the story. I was like, do seahorses like Michael Clayton?
Seahorses.
Who doesn't
love the movie Michael Clayton?
Who doesn't?
They have great taste.
Yeah.
They love a legal thriller, seahorses.
They're waiting for when Arthur says, you think you got the horses for that, but they somebody shouts sea right at the right time, and they all go, yeah, it's about, he's talking about us.
Yeah, man. No, this story actually is also from Singapore, which is where the farting dog story was from. So this isn't about another Singapore tourist, a Japanese woman who she ate so much crab and it was so expensive that she called the cops. She called the police because she ate $1,000 worth of crab, and she didn't realize she was going to eat $1,000 worth of crab. And so she was very upset. Because apparently, so in Singapore, one of their like local dishes is Singapore chili crab. It's like a very famous thing. I was reading about it to prep for this story, and it made me very hungry. It sounds really good. But it is often expensive. So this woman, she thought, she asked her, this is where like I'm a little bit on her side. She asked her waiter what to get. And the waiter was like, you gotta get the chili crab. And she was like,
you simply must.
I'm going to get the chili crab. You simply must. And so she gets a chili crab, and she sees on the menu it says $20. What she doesn't realize is it's $20 per 100 grams. And this was an Alaskan king crab. So it was apparently $1,000, which is like, that is quite a bit of crab, if I do say so myself. Although I imagine they're also including the shell here.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I'd be, that would be the way you get back at them is like, well, the weighting, the whole thing is irrelevant. None of the contract holds up because they weighed the shell. Yeah, I'm with you that their description of how this was sold to them is not how any transaction would go between people. Like, this does sound so confusing to do.
Also, but hold on, isn't, so $20 per 100 grams, she's $1,000, so that's 2,000 grams? What are we?
2 kilograms.
How many grams is that?
Yeah, it says 8 pounds, almost 8 pounds.
8 pounds.
Yeah.
So it's not like she was getting a little bit of crab. That is still plenty of crab, in my opinion.
You'd think she just thought it was a steal of a deal. You get 8 kilograms of crab meat. yeah, and then this is another thing where they're like, they said they brought out, especially knowing that it's like this is somebody on, you know, visiting. They brought out the crab to show it to her, and they're like, they said they did that to be like, are you sure? But if I was at a restaurant where I maybe didn't perfectly speak language and they were just brought out a crab.
Right, I'm just nodding.
Yeah, she very understandably was like, we very thought they crab. Were showing us the crab because it was cool. And
right, exactly.
Check this out.
Yeah.
I thought they just wanted me to go, wow. I didn't know that this was part of the approval process.
Yeah.
I thought maybe I was supposed to look it in its eyes before they served it to me.
They give you a little piece of crab and you swirl it around in a glass and pretend that you know whether it's bad or not. And then
gotta find
also,
out the
crab. I'm imagining there are like multiple people carrying this crab out to her. Like he's like shackled and they're like bringing him out like he's a prisoner.
Yeah, it's like Hannibal Lecter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
because I know like 8 pounds of crab isn't that big, but it sounds like it's huge. So yeah, the biggest rubber bands just wheeled out.
Yeah, like in Hannibal when they put rubber bands on his hands so he can't eat anybody, and they put him in the tank. I mean, he's kind of in a tank. He's a little bit in a tank.
He is a little bit in a tank. That, you know, maybe he wouldn't have escaped if they put him in a tank with rubber bands on his hands.
Are you afraid that I would pinch you, Will?
Yeah, he does a little castanet thing after the fava beans. Fava beans. It's fun. Make cannibal a crab. Make the movie again. Make him a crab, please. I mean, this really seems like, it sounds confusing, but it also sounds like there were definitely enough context clues that she should have been like, I am about to pay $1 million for whatever is happening here.
It's one of those things where I feel like I have been ripped off sort of like this in like a situation where I am not familiar with the culture, and I've mostly just when that has happened, I have taken it as like the cost of not
getting
like,
scammed.
The cost of it's sort of just like, all right, you got me. This is what you do to people like me when I come to your place. Like, fair enough. It's usually not. I feel like maybe at $1,000, I would maybe protest a little bit.
Yeah,
but
Kath just believing that this is the country where the three card Monty game is not rigged, and she is in for a big win. This is sort of like what you're saying, where the part where I'm like, okay, you had to know some shit was happening, was that they say it was delivered in three heaping plates, three separate.
At that point, you got to be like, uh-oh, dude, this is not $20.
And maybe this is just this is just part of, you know, like Jewish tradition that's been handed down to me by my father. If a restaurant brings me a second Coke without me asking, I'm like, hold on, what are you doing? What's this?
So what's the game here?
Yeah, if someone brings me like a second plate, much less a third plate of crab meat, you're definitely. I mean, it's also insane that you'd think someone would want that much. That's option A for crab. Where like you're not, you know.
I don't understand. I don't understand like the. I mean, I guess because they killed the crab. I guess they had to use all the meat. I guess, but it is just like. Yeah,
she thought that they were getting some of the crab,
right,
and that the rest of the crab would go to other people,
right.
Yeah,
and it turned out, yeah, not to be the case. But that I feel like they could definitely kill the crab and use some of it for someone else.
You would think there'd be other dishes you could use, but yeah, this is also like Singapore is like expensive, right?
It's so fancy.
Like, the idea that you're getting a $20 dish, like I don't know what the rest of the menu looks like, but it's again. Yeah, but the second you see the second plate, you're like, okay, something really bad is happening right now.
Let me also say,
I agree. I feel like then you know, but then it's maybe too late. Like, what do you do at that point? You know,
crab's dead. Once the crab is dead, you're fucked. Yeah,
the crab is dead, and it has been prepared.
They bring out the crab's wife, and then like,
the crab.
The money's supposed to help her take care of their kids.
Yeah, crab has been compromised to a permanent end. Yeah, I would also say on that end, $20, pretty cheap for like crab cakes. Like even $20 crab cakes, I would be kind of surprised by.
Let me get a lot of bread.
Crab.
This is also, I don't really want to say that the meal was to be made with Alaskan king crab, a much, much pricier crustacean than the restaurant's usual mud crabs. Which, I don't. Are mud crabs good? They sound. Not good. They sound full of mud. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good. But they're definitely a different thing than a king crab. They like live in the rice paddies and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So if you're eating like Southeast Asian food with crab in it, you're probably eating mud crab, a little bit of mud crab.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, maybe in the US they use something different. But it's like it's definitely the difference between like an Alaskan king crab and like a Dungeness crab or something. It's like that's a very different thing. So it makes sense if you're like ordering by weight and you're expecting like a little guy, and then they bring out the like fucking like the what's the thing in Star Wars that it looks like? It looks like one of those big walker things in Star Wars, but it's a crab.
The AT, one of the AT somethings. AT-AT. This is probably you here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what Alaskan king crabs look like to me. So like I get why. That would be a little bit of a bait.
Apparently, it's not most of the other dishes involve something called mud crabs, which is something that I would not particularly want to eat based on that description. And that does not sound.
I think
like
you were reading while we had a probably like a minute and a half conversation about mud crabs.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard Dungeness, and you're right. I was reading, so there we go. I'm doing good today. Okay.
Yeah, man. Mud crab or mangrove crab,
the rice paddy
also
ones.
Known as black crab. Yeah. They live in the Indo-Pacific.
Pretty I would good, still say I would go with black crab on the menu over mud crab.
If I would
there's
too,
another
I
name,
would too.
I would go with that one. I would go pretty much anything but mud crab. I mean, it's interesting. I was I have just by chance went in on some crabs just this very weekend down in the DMV. And one thing I was thinking about when I was eating crabs is like, they do such a good job at defense mechanisms, and we just still get in there. They're like,
yeah, man, that's why everything's evolving into them, because they're like little tanks.
Yeah, they're so pointy. They're hard to get the meat out, and you'd think that
but
would be enough.
Unfortunately,
but it is
they
not
have
enough.
Evolved. They've evolved to be so good. They're so tasty.
Yeah, they're just minimizing meat. They're just turning into pure shell, so it's not edible. No muscles anymore.
That's the problem, though, is like they're so tasty and they're minimizing all the meat. So it's like, well, now we just have to kill all of you because we're going to eat this. It's very good. We're going to put it in fried rice. We're going to put it in some cakes. We're going to put it in some artichoke dip. Can't get enough of this stuff. It's so good.
They should recognize us as their gods and fatten up one of their kind to proffer to us
as
from the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
To save the rest of the population. But yeah, I mean, it's not a great, the whole thing, it's a disrespectful way to go, even as far as food
goes. Do you
think
that's what they did with King Kong? Like the first time, like we fattened her up. It's like, I don't eat them. Well, it's not clear what I do with them. I just kind of like them. I don't really like, you know, it's like a little doll I like to carry around. Like, I don't actually like, you know, it's not clear what, you know,
yeah.
I can't
yeah.
physically have sex with, you know, like, it's not clear what King Kong does with the blonde lady, but he just kind of
holds likes her.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just likes her, and you're not allowed to think about it more than that. That's where it ends.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. That's the, if King Kong had debuted in the era of Comic-Con, what does he want to do with the lady? He likes her. That's it. Stop at, they're like, any questions about
no
what
more
he's
questions?
Do? Yeah. If you're going to ask a question about what he does to the lady, put your hand down. All the hands go to, like, he just likes her. He thinks she looks cool. All right.
He wants to have her in his hand.
Damn it.
Yeah. She's nice. And he, you know, he kind of like pets her hair and like that. That's it. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's fine. Then he keeps King her Kong. Safe because it's very dangerous there.
Mm-hmm. King Kong, pretty cool. Pretty cool monster. Let him climb around on there. See what's good. Yeah. We see, I found out that, this were my fun facts or whatever. When Donkey Kong came out, Universal sued Nintendo, and they're like, this is King Kong. And then a judge looked and he was like, you don't own King Kong. And Universal was like, you got us. Okay. Like, what the fuck are you
King
doing?
Kong?
It's so, I got into a wormhole.
No one can own King Kong.
No one can own him. He's his own man.
There's articles that are like the incredibly confusing issue of who owned King Kong. Because some guy sold, it was like.
He's a myth now. He's not intellectual property anymore. He's a myth.
Yeah. It's like.
He's part of our lexic, our theology, our cosmology.
It's like the thing we were talking about in the beginning. It was like, that's how you used to get a job. It was like a guy who walked into a movie studio and he was like, I got an idea about a big monkey. And they're like, okay. And then, so now they're like, well, we don't know who owns it. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should try to get our hands on that.
Yeah.
Can we try to become owners of it?
Get King Kong.
Patty, can you help with this? This legal
battle?
Can
we own King Kong?
Yeah. We'll be like, hey, whatever like appliance company is successor of whatever old movie studio had the rights. Hand them over.
Yeah. I think
it's actually owned by BlackRock now. It's really weird. I don't know how that happened.
I think there's like, it just splintered at some point, so now everyone owns like a different part of King Kong. I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into it because I don't know it that well. But
we just have one of his legs. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
We can show, it's like Winnie the Pooh, where you can show Winnie the Pooh now. Winnie the Pooh is public domain. But
you can show
him. If he's in a red shirt, it's not public domain. So it's
he has to be nude.
Yeah. You can show King Kong, but if he climbs a building, straight to court.
You're out.
Straight to court. Got to stay on the ground. Okay.
On the ground. Yep. 2 feet firmly tethered to this earth.
You got
to
watch out. You have Mighty Joe Young people after you too at that point. So you got to be careful. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was a problem for them. They're like, can't do another big ape. Can't do it.
People always want a big ape.
It's too late to introduce another one of these to pop culture.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like a Peter Jackson movie or something?
No, the new King, the King Kong in like 2005 or whatever that was Peter Jackson.
Okay, that was a. That
Mighty
was
Joe movie. Young is Bill Paxton, Charlize Theron. No, it's definitely not a. That's based on a movie from like the 40s, though, I think.
A lot of movies about big monkeys back in the day.
It's like the main thing people were thinking about.
Yeah. Not to mention,
What if there was like a big monkey out there? Think about that. It's like, all right, yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, and hey, they'll stop making them.
Could
when
be
we stop turning up.
Holy guacamole!
You tell me, King Kong is back. Turns out, I'm also back in the theater watching him wreck stuff.
Butts in seats for big monkey. We're here for it. Let's do the next one. Number two.
Number two comes to us from Eric Derogatory in the Discord. And this is another fun dog story. I'm on the dog beat this week. Woman thought rescue dog was ignoring her, but finds he only understands Spanish. So,
That's a cute story.
That's a fun story. she rescued this dog and she started using basic commands, but he completely ignored her and doing whatever he was doing. I mean, this is strange because... I mean, I guess you I don't know why you assume the dog has been trained if you're getting a rescue dog, you know? I mean, I guess you know a little bit about their circumstances, but like, you know, you probably have to do a little bit of training, right? So like the idea that the dog's ignoring you is not like, something's wrong here. He doesn't understand when I say sit and stay. You know what I mean? Like it's a little...
I mean, I feel like when you get a rescue dog, you can sort of tell if it's been owned before.
Yeah.
Like,
they sometimes tell you in the profiles. Vibes. They're like, gives hand or whatever. They're weird. Spend a lot of time on Pet Finder. It's cool. So just checking out who's finding on
it. You think about getting one, or just are you doing it like how I go on Zillow sometimes? Just like look at houses I can't afford.
I'm thinking about getting it, but you know, it's really a win-win. Even if I'm not getting one, they're all cool.
You get to look at they're some, all nice some cool there. Guys.
Yeah. And you get to see the kind of language like when they're like, it's clearly a dog and they're like very energetic. Like they are positive.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
At the same time, they're like, if you aren't as energetic as this little bundle of energy, and you're like, oh, that dog is going to go bananas.
Would be best in a house with no other dogs, no children, no men with beards.
Yeah.
No people with feet over size 9. Like, just like, this dog hates everything.
Nothing that could break.
Porcelain.
Yeah. And look, we love him. We didn't, something bad happened to him, but yeah.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault. It is funny when they try. When they try to do that, though.
Yeah. I do. I like to, like, could anything demonstrate just, like, the complete Eurocentric domination? Like, a dog, and then you're like, you speak English, you're like, well, it can't understand anything. There's no possibility that this dog knows any other language.
Where did you get the dog? Because that's the thing. If you're not near a place where a lot of people speak Spanish, I can understand not giving it a try, you know?
It says... Oh, okay. So it's from Houston, Texas originally, where I'd be
okay,
like...
Okay, yeah. I feel like Spanish is a distinct possibility.
Yeah. But then it says relocated from Minnesota. And I will say if I got a dog from Minnesota, I would be like, that's not a Spanish...
I'd be trying some fucking Norwegian before I tried Spanish from up there.
Yeah. I'm not sure why she decided, but she said instead of come here, she said ven aquí. And he ran over there. So,
that's so cute.
And so she's learning all the slang Spanish for various other commands. And
puto.
Ven aquí, puto.
Saying joder constantly in a truly insane number of contexts. So that's she's now doing it where she's saying it in English and in Spanish. So she's to try to
get this dog to be bilingual. That's cool. Look, if a dog can do it, what is all of our excuse?
Yeah. And I'm
get on Duolingo.
What are
folks?
You, dumber than a dog?
I'm almost like surprised here because like I know that they do, but it's like I always kind of assume that dogs like sort of know what you're saying, but then a lot of it is just kind of like, you know, usually people like come, it's like, well, they know because you're like slapping your thighs a lot. Like they get the message.
Yeah. Like,
It's almost more impressive that this dog can hear a word and be like, I don't know that word. It's like more impressive to me than to just be like, I'm going to do something. It's
right.
Like, I don't know. She's saying something.
Yeah. Like just statistically probably wants me over there. That's like what I would, if I was a dog, that's what I would assume.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Like I think about that with Zelda, where it's like, how much of what I'm saying does Zelda actually recognize? Because I can like, I can get her to come. I can like get her attention, you know, if I need her attention. But like, it's probably 90% because I'm talking to a cat, so I'm not using a voice I use to talk to other people. You know what I mean? Like, and the way like it has to do with like the tone of the syllables or whatever, and not the actual words. But I guess this dog knew. This dog knew.
I mean. You know, when we were training,
I mean, they don't walk. Remember, they like freak out if you say walk, even if you're not doing all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when we were, you know, training with the initial stuff, a lot of there's a hand motion, and that like, you know, that you sort of cheat a little bit. Like Liza still doesn't know stand, which is not one that we really need. You know, like sit and down, she does without us doing anything. But then we do stand, and that's sort of just like literally like standing up, which is like not a lot of situations where that's really like crucial. You know. But there's a gesture that we accompany it with. So she doesn't do it if we say it, then we do the gesture, she gets it. So like it's clear that even though we've done it a bunch of times.
It's the Italian up yours gesture.
The up yours gesture.
Stand.
and no, it's like it's this thing where you do your fingers on both sides. I don't know. It's a
here's normal. The church, here's the steeple.
Yeah, that's right. Like how you show a vagina to someone on a school in the
that's
in
what recess, it's, at recess. Yeah, especially with the pinky or the finger yeah. going like moving a lot. Yeah. That's what it's like. It's like the thing. That's what it looks like. So it makes sense that it wouldn't necessarily know, but from context, I feel like that dogs are. I mean, dogs are pretty smart. They'll figure it out. You know, they know what's going on.
But it's
on.
This dog probably was like, I know she wants me to come over here, but she's not addressing me properly, I'm not going to do it.
Disrespectful at best.
Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Say Venna key or don't say anything at all.
Uh huh.
Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I said, when we had a dog, my dad just used to address it as in long compound sentences and then be frustrated that he didn't understand.
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, you.
He'd be like, Max, you know, you're not allowed under the dinner table. And then he'd be like, he's still under there. And I'd be like, yeah, he's going to be there until he learns syntax. Like, you should just. The word you want here is shoe. And that's what, you know.
Mm.
When they,
that doesn't work anyways. Just push his butt. Push his butt wherever you want him to go. That is dog language 101. Works 100% of the time.
Yeah. Mm. They make you. I never thought I would be somebody who like talks like that too. But when you're like desperate and they're not listening, or you're just kind of like, are you gonna do that? Blah, 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 it's like they don't know what you're saying. They hear like the cadence of the sing song voice, but like that's not, you know, and sometimes you trick yourself into thinking they know what you're saying because they'll do something that's kind of, you know, but, you know, they're just good at pattern recognition. I think that's really what it comes, a lot of it comes down to, you know?
Yeah.
It's better now, I think, because Zelda's a little bit older and she's like calmed down a little bit. And I've also gotten better at like handling her. But, I remember when I had to move out of Austin, that was like the worst time. But for a while when I had her, anytime I had to put her in her carrier for anything, it was like more traumatic for me than it was for her. Cause I was so upset that I couldn't get her to understand why I was shoving her into this carrier. And like, cause she was terrified. She like hated it. She would like run away from me. She would like hiss at me. She like absolutely didn't want to do it. And I'd just be like, dude, we're gonna miss my flight. We're moving away. This apartment is empty. You're the last thing in it. I need you to just get in this carrier. Like, and I would just get so frustrated because, like, you can't. They don't know. They just are like, why are you being mean to me all of a sudden? I feel so betrayed. You know.
I've gotten
better at it, but I literally used to cry every time I had to put her in her carrier because I would get so upset. And she was like. She would forget about it like 10 minutes after we got to where we were going or whatever. But like I was scarred. It was really bad.
Yeah. I think I would be one of the, I'd be in the carrier. No problem. I'd be one of the dogs. That's like, if the weather was anything other than what I wanted it to be, I'd be dead waiting outside of the door. I'd be on the ground. That's my move. I'd just be like, no. I don't need to do any of this, you know?
No, I mean,
it's been raining for like 3 straight days, which has been really fun for us because we can't take her out really.
She contains a lot of water, I would imagine.
We take her
coat or her bladder.
her coat,
water and other
stuff. Or maybe
stuff.
Her bladder.
She doesn't hate the rain, but she doesn't like love getting rained on. You know, she likes water.
She's not gonna like go out and frolic.
So she like goes out and like she'll do her stuff, and then she'll like grab the end of the leash, like the part she can grab, kind of by, and then she'll start walking you back to the house. She's like, "All right, that's enough." You know, and it's like, "All right, I appreciate that. I don't want to be out here either." So that's good.
Yeah.
That was the worst part of dog walking was when you had a dog that like did something like that, didn't want to be outside. And then you don't want to be outside, obviously, but the owner is one of those people who's like, I paid for 30 minutes. I'm getting 30 minutes. And it's just me and a miserable dog like standing under an awning for like 30 minutes. And me like, I'm sorry. If I go back in there, they're going to see me on their fucking camera and call my boss. So we're both out here.
We're both in this together.
Just me and a husky in the hot sun of August, just sweating it out. Being like, I know there's toys in there. Okay. You got to stand out here. Okay. So yeah. Anyways, that's our animal takes.
Yeah.
So the last one isn't about an animal. So this concludes our animal portion of the show.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
This story comes to us from my bussy and me in the Discord. By the way, if you'd like to submit stories to the show, you can join our Patreon at the $10 a month level, patreon.com/whatatime. What is it? What a time pod? Why did I forget it all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I think it's What a Time Pod.
It is What a Time Pod.
Whoa. Weird. Okay. Anyway, patreon.com/whatatimepod.
Kath only speaks Spanish. We're finding this out now.
Sign up the $10 level. You can submit stories in our private Discord channels like this one. So this story comes to us from Sheffield. So get your accents locked and loaded, boys. This that guy. Old
Sheffield brogue.
Mr. Sheffield. That's what you mean?
That's the accent, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm from Sheffield.
Everyone talks like the nanny in Sheffield. Yeah.
It's a very isolated part of the UK somehow. Mm-hmm. They all have that accent. This guy in Sheffield, he and his son went out to eat. They went to Wong Ting Buffet in Sheffield, a nice Chinese food buffet. Imagine getting some crab rangoons on a under a warmer. Sounds great. Mm. I'm hungry. I haven't
8 pounds of crab rangoon, baby. That's the place to do it.
Oh, I would maybe not 8 pounds. I could put away some crab rangoons.
Oh, for sure.
I could. I think I could probably eat 8 pounds of chili crab from that story. I don't know if I could eat 8 pounds of crab rangoons. That's a lot of cream cheese.
Yeah.
But 8 pounds of crab rangoon is the same amount of cream cheese that is on one New York City bagel.
Yeah.
Approximately.
Oh, my God. They go bananas with that stuff.
They go bananas. You get a pint. You get a free pint of cream cheese if you order a banana.
I don't.
Or order a bagel in the city.
I don't. Yeah, I do butter because I don't really like cream cheese. And they do. You'd think that. It's like you get it and it is literally like marinated. It's like,
yeah,
there's
like
the same
we have
amount
to get rid of this butter.
Yeah, it's like you're opening a Ziploc bag of chicken breast that's been, you know, marinating for like 3 days, just all butter. It's like, oh cool, great, you know.
I kind of like that though, like when I order a bagel with butter, that's like sort of what I'm hoping
that
for.
That sounds good.
It's
to
like
me.
Not my fault,
but it's
I didn't
such
put
a
butter
mess
on here.
Yeah,
it's a mess. It makes your fingers get all over your shirt, and it's like that, like greasy, like clear stains. Where it's just
yeah, that like never come out.
Yeah,
no good. Anyway, this guy went to an all-you-can-eat buffet in Sheffield, and he went with his 10-year-old son, and he is furious because they determined who was charged as a child and who was charged as an adult based on height. So this 10-year-old. Is charged as an adult, and the I guess he went with the kid's friend. Like it was the dad, the kid, and the kid's friend. And the kid's friend got charged as a kid, and the other kid got charged as an adult.
Roller coaster rules, baby.
Short kings stay winning.
Apparently, they brought out a measuring stick, according to the story.
they brought out the chains.
They brought out the chains.
The chains.
Made him lay down. Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I think is that there was a thing at a certain point when I was a little younger where people would always say that they thought I was older than I was because I was so tall. And that never made sense to me. Where I was like, you know, people stop growing, right? Like, this isn't a tree situation sort of thing.
Well, like, I mean, how old are we talking? Because, like, yeah.
No, like 20, when I was like in my early 20s, and I'd be like, oh, or. You
okay,
know.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was made no sense. Just think of people being weird, you know.
If you're like a little kid, I get it though. Like that Luke story about how he was in third grade and danced with a 13-year-old at a bar mitzvah because he was like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, no, I'm
like a child.
I'm talking about fully an adult, and people are like, I thought you were 30 at that height. It's like, what is going on in your world? What is?
Yeah, that's not real. Very strange.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. The restaurant owner said the guy got mad, and the restaurant owner said, I will stick to my guns as this is our policy. If you don't like it, you have the option to leave. It's on the menu.
I love the idea of just putting shit on the menu, and then you're like, that's it. No chance.
This is funny to me because like I kind of get what they're saying here, where the restaurant owner said, sometimes you get a child who is 15 and 6'2", and they eat more than anyone else. And I will say, no one eats more than a too tall teenager. Like a teenage boy that is too tall is like.
And they got to fill in the rest of that, all that
unbelievable
space.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You're talking about a growing boy. One of the
literally
most. Yeah.
A known issue.
You can't do it by age, know. Because like under like driver's license, how you don't have any proof of how old you are, like around, you know what I mean? You're a kid.
That's how kids' menus work. It's like 12 or under.
How do they prove? How do you prove it?
Is they don't really, prove it.
Right. Well, that's, these people got to protect themselves.
Also, it's definitely, I've heard like many stories of people who have said like their dad took them to restaurants and were like, you are six. If anybody you're six.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like people cheat the kids' menu all the time because, like, yeah, kids don't have identification.
Well, you can't.
But it's usually age. It's not height.
Funny concept. Kids don't have identification.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, just take out your wallet with your ID in it.
Yeah.
Love some kid with a fucking little baby Velcro wallet with a baby ID. It's like, sorry, the picture's old. It's just them as a baby. Yeah, this is my can't.
Sorry, the picture's
license.
Old. It's from 6 months ago.
Yeah. I do like that in response, this policy is stupid. And the restaurant owner said he is ignorant. It's just such a good, no.
I like both of these people. I'm with both of them.
Yeah. I would love to watch
I feel
this.
Like you, if you let a 6'2", 15-year-old into your buffet, you have to close. You're done for the rest
Shut
of the
it
day.
Down.
It's over for you.
Yeah. I would be, even those TikTok competitive eater guys. You can't. I'd kick them out. They should get kicked out in every video. As soon as you set up a phone, somebody sets up a phone like that, I'm like, you're either going to eat too much or you're going to eat weird. You need to get the fuck out of my restaurant.
Yeah.
You're going to freak everybody out.
Yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bouncer mean, checking IDs at a Fuddruckers in the free cookie line.
Yeah. No free cookie.
I'm the bouncer at Fuddruckers.
Yeah.
That's my day job.
You just don't want to show up to an airport really short, and then they take you into the room down under the airport and put the necklace on you.
Bar bouncer starts working at Fuddruckers, and he's in his old habits, and he gets fired for showing porn on his phone to a kid, because that's what they do as a bouncer. Check this out, man. Oh, wait, no, you're like 10. Oh, no, oh, no. Sorry, old habits.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm like envious of that experience, but I do feel like it is so funny, and I'm kind of sad it's never happened to me and will never happen to me, because it is I simply cannot imagine it.
Like, oh, me getting shown a video of a bouncer
just
getting his
people,
dick sucked.
door guys showing porn to people. Just like men in general being like, "Hey, check it out."
He wasn't showing it to everybody.
He just thought you were special.
Yeah, I covered for him sometimes, so you had to take a shit. He put
me on
the
stool. It's a special treat.
He's like, hey, dude, check this out. It's like, oh, is this you? Cool, thanks, man.
That's pretty much how it went. And then he went back to playing Clash of Clans. just one of those experiences that you have. Just a square in the beautiful quilt that we call life. And you want to have a video of
the
varieties getting sucked.
Human experience. Yeah. We're just all living out here. I just feel like I've heard the fact that it was him is unique to this story, but I feel like I have heard other stories that there are these, I don't know, like men raised alone in the wilderness, and then they come to civilization and they find out about porn on their phones and they just show it to people like it's a new exciting thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just, do you believe this?
I hope they open up like
is this real?
I hope they open up like an incognito tab on their phone, but then still watch it in front of everybody.
Just
like,
open, on the subway, no headphones.
Yeah, but they're like, well, this isn't going in my history, so it's fine. No, right. Someone's like, are you watching porn right now? I was like, it's in an incognito tab. This is a private tab. It's not. It's the one I'm supposed to use.
You can't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this place, the move here for this restaurant, though, is just be like, okay, well, now it's a height based, which kind of almost makes more sense. Just be like.
That's the thing. Like, I sort of get what they're saying, but it does suck when you bring 2 10-year-olds. The short kings stay winning, as you said, Patty. So
another person you got to turn away from your restaurant is the guy with a big napkin tucked into his shirt, who's twiddling his fingers and looking excited.
Oh no! Get out of here!
Here he comes!
Shut him down! That's an old picture up of him doing that, and you're like, "This man is not allowed on the premises.
Do not serve him.
Do not serve Mr. Creosote." Not allowed in.
86th. No.
That's a classic old tweet that's like Brontosaurus walks into all you can eat salad bar. Oh hell no.
Get him out.
I feel like out. I would also like to very briefly address the photo that this man supplied to metro.co.uk, which is him with his son. That makes enough sense. But he's like eating a Slim Jim in the picture.
Yeah.
And it's in a he way. Is.
Couldn't even put the Slim Jim down for the photo.
Yeah. Or like, could he easily have been cropped out before you sent it off?
Nope.
Nope. Just me and my
we
son.
We need to establish that these guys are big eaters. That's like part of the story, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't even stop for a minute to take a picture. Yeah. Let's see. Do we have any good comments on this? A lot of people on the side of the restaurant. One person mad at the concept of an all-you-can-eat restaurant. That's one of the comments. Just very angry at the very idea of it.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is good. Yeah. So, yeah. All-you-can-eat restaurants just encourage people to pig out and put on weight. And the reply is, and you have studied this? ?
Got his ass. Yeah, and say by some
yes,
of these-
I'm an all-you-can-eat restaurant scientist.
Also, by some of these comments, you'd think they charge by the punctuation mark. My God, hey. Break up this paragraph. By this comment by Kim Clinton, who I assume is one of the Clintons.
Doxed.
Yeah. They only go to the press in hope of compensation. Dad definitely ate all he could and more, and it's by height and states on their menu. Then that's fair if the sum was taller. I've been to this type of restaurant before, and it was stated on the door and on the menu. And again, at the buffet counter, maybe Dad can't read properly. And they usually get the lollipop at the end. As you pay, you did not question where they were taking the children. So there's your mission statement. The lollipop thing. Is
I want to know if they got the lollipop at the end. That's important to this.
Yeah.
Do you get the lollipop? Did the adults get a lollipop too? I would feel condescended too if I was given a lollipop at the end of a meal.
You don't want a lollipop?
As a grown woman. I mean, I'd probably eat it, but I'd be like, this was patronizing.
That's a weird way to talk about, I don't know what the right word is for, but eating a lollipop sounds wrong. That's like
enjoying.
Unless you're the owl. Unless you're that owl, you don't eat a lollipop. Right. The owl eats a lollipop.
One,
that's
two,
his whole problem.
A three.
Yeah. All right. Let's do plugs.
Become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram at Patty Moe, at Kath Barbadoro, and at Eli Uden. And check out Kath's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
I don't think I have any stand-up this week. Follow me on social media and I'll post my stand-up. October 6th, paid protest at Silo. 8 p.m. or maybe 7:30 p.m. Follow me on social media. There's a link there.
I do not believe I have any stand-up this week. But if anybody saw me with all these recording times, if anyone saw me in the recent past in D.C., thank you for coming to that.
You've seen me in the recent past. I just recorded an episode of The Best Little Horror House in Philly. It's a podcast about the guests each pitch what they think is the best horror movie ever. I talked about Michael Clayton at some length, and that is coming out in a couple weeks, I think. So keep an eye out for
that. Was
that
your pick?
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a different kind of horror. I try to get a little creative with it. So
nice. Seahorses love it.
Seahorses love it.
When they're blasting and watching Michael Clayton.
No.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Goodbye.